Let us turn again, please, in God's word to the Psalm 136. I leave with you today verses 17 through to 21. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever, and slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Zion, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever, and give their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. I highlight especially the words, slew famous kings, verse 18 and verse 21, and give their land for an heritage. This God did for his people. He sent judgment for his people. There were some who stood in the way. There were some who blocked the path of God's saints. There was more opposition. The devil continued to resist, continued to prevent God's people entering into the promised land. But God dealt with them. Pharaoh was dead. Egypt's host was dead. We've seen that. But the devil was not dead. The ancient foe raised up other kings and other armies. How did Luther put it? The great reformer. Still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. The emphasis being on the word still. Still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. Still doing it. In Egypt doing it. In the wilderness doing it. And at the very gate of entrance to the inheritance, doing it still. Still our ancient foe. Still in opposition. Still going about like a roaring lion to devour the people of God. Two kings are named in verses 19 and 20. Zion and Og. You will observe that they are put in the center of the verbs of divine activity. In verses 19 and 20, where the kings are named, we have no verbs whatsoever, just nouns. The great pillars of Satan, the wicked and stubborn opposition, they're just standing in the way of the saints. There they are. These pillars, these strongholds of Satan, they have been raised up there to oppose and resist the redeemed. Do you know who they remind me of? These two kings. Those two creatures in Revelation chapter 13 that the dragon raised up. Remember John, he stood and he saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Here's satanic royalty. Here's a king, a beast that is a king. And then the second beast also arose. Another one rising up out of the earth to stand to oppose the people of God. He had 2 horns like a lamb and spake as a dragon. The dragon has raised them up. And in this psalm, these two kings, make no mistake about it, the devil has raised them up. Don't be doubting the satanic hand in this. History has behind it God in action and Satan in opposition. That's the explanation of history. Don't think that in Moses' writings the devil only comes into the Garden of Eden. No. He went outside with mankind, and ever since he has opposed God's promises. And we read of many of his activities in the writings of Moses and in the rest of the scriptures. The satanic warfare. And this warfare is about stopping the advent of Christ. It is about thwarting the promises of God. It is about bringing to naught God's plans. Satan seems to think that he can actually do that. That he can actually stand in the way of God and stand in the way of his church. Satan, in his madness, seems to think that. And so the story of these kings is related in Numbers chapter 21. In Numbers chapter 20 and 21, Israel is on the journey out of the wilderness and into the land of promise via the highlands of East Jordan. They're on the last stage of the journey. The crossing of Jordan is in the horizon. But the way was blocked. There were foes who stood in the way. Till you cross Jordan, child of God, there will be foes in the way. Till the very end, you will face opposition. And near the end, it will intensify. The first of these foes that the people of God faced were not pagan heathen enemies under these kings. The first foes in the way were brethren. We don't read about it here. The Edomites. The Edomites first opposed them. The Edomites were the children of Esau, the brother of Israel. They were family. You read about it in Numbers chapter 20. Moses sent messengers unto the king of Edom. The message was plain and simple. Thus saith thy brother Israel. They're making the family appeal. Thou knowest all the travail that has befallen us. How our fathers went down into Egypt. We have dwelt in Egypt a long time. The Egyptians vexed us and our fathers. But when we cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice. He sent an angel and he's brought us out of Egypt. Here we are. Let us pass, I pray thee. They're appealing to the Edomites in a meek manner. Let us pass. Just let us pass through thy country. We'll not pass through the fields or through the vineyards. We'll not drink of the water of the wells. We'll go by the road, the king's road. We'll not turn to the right hand nor to the left. We'll stay on the highway. And just till we've passed through your land on the way to the land of promise. We're traveling to the promised land. Just let us pass. Don't stand in our way. You know, the Edomites should have known better. They should have acted as brethren should act. Kind and graciously. And allowed them to pass. They should have had better hearts. They should have had compassion. But they're ungodly. They should have helped the people of God. Being family. Being related. You know, the Bible calls Esau a profane person. He's family. But he's profane. He had light and knowledge. But no grace. He was a brother without grace, without regeneration. And he had a hard, graceless, cold, callous heart. Graceless and Christless, though born in light and under light, the Bible says he found no place for repentance. That's the kind of man that he was. He always behaved harshly. And he never ever repented of his deeds. And what did Edom say, his children? Like him, what did Edom say? Thou shalt not pass by me. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border, wherefore Israel turned away from him. Even their brethren wouldn't let them pass. Do you see their watchword? That's what I want to highlight tonight. This is the same watchword of Zion and Og. Thou shalt not pass by me. We won't let you pass. We'll oppose you. We'll resist you. We'll stand in the way. You know, the Lord Jesus said, a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Even those in the household may stand in the way. They may resist. And God's people have found that. People have been converted. They've gone home. Their parents have resisted. There's been opposition. They've stood in the way. They've said, you'll not pass. There's been Esau's. There's been profane. Like Cain. Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And Cain rose up against Abel, his brother. God had blessed Abel. Abel was going to go on in the things of God. And what did Cain say? You'll not pass by me. I'll resist you. I'll oppose you. I'll stop you. Remember how the psalmist said, yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, have lifted up his heel against me. Judas Iscariot. He said to Jesus, thou wilt not pass by me. He said to the early church, thou shalt not pass by me. He resisted. Sometimes the opposition is in the family. Sometimes even in the church itself, people of God see this opposition. Profane persons can even get into the congregation. Profane persons who have really no love for the Lord. They can even be found and make their way in to sit among the people of God. And very often this is a cause of so much church trouble. It is because of people who just lack grace, who are just filled with enmity, who are just filled with callousness in their hearts, who just, as it were, just oppose the work of God and resist it at every turn. Have the spirit of Esau. But these kings, as I say, were not of Esau. They were not family with light and privilege. They were darkness and Satan. These were the strongholds of Satan in that day. This is the darkness that has to be passed in order to get into the land of the inheritance. Satan's kingdom and all its darkness stands in the way. They take up the same theme tune, of course, as the Edomites. Ye shall not pass. All are under Satan. Profane brethren, powerful heathen. The unifying spirit of them all is the spirit of the wicked one. And the plan is the same. Ye shall not pass. And so that's why they occur in these verses without verbs. They're just there. They're just standing. They're just in the way. And their saying is, you shall not pass. Satan stands in the way to resist. What about the hearer? What about you today? Could it be you are among this people? Used by Satan? Opposing God's people? Do you resist the church? Do you resist the ministers of the gospel? Do you resist people coming to Christ? Do you stand in the way of saints at home, in the workplace, or even in the church? Do you rise up against the gospel and rise up against gospel ministry? Then learn from this passage to beware. Be warned against standing in the way. Don't stand in the way of sinners coming to Christ. Don't stand in the way of the church bringing the gospel. Never say, You shall not pass. Don't stand in the way of someone traveling to heaven. Don't do it. Whether out of envy and strife, whether out of hatred or whatever, don't stand in the way of God's people. Don't do the devil's work. Don't say this to God's word either, or to God himself, ye shall not pass. You know, there are sinners who hear Christ's word, and the word of God runs. It's on a path, it's on a mission to their hearts and to change their hearts. But there are sinners who stand up against the word of God, and they hear the preaching of the gospel, and they say to it, to that word, and to the Christ who brings that word, they say, you shall not pass. You will not make way into my heart. And so the Lord comes to them with the word, but they resist. They resist the calls of Christ. They resist the claims of Christ. They resist the gospel appeals and the gospel entreaties. And they say to the gospel, you shall not pass. O sinner, beware, lest you take upon you this language against God himself. Oh, beware, lest you find yourselves standing with these kings against God and against his word. We must always guard ourselves and check our lives and watch that we find not ourselves in opposition to God. Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. These kings should have heard that. The people of God have received an anointing. The people of God, with all their faults and failures, have one abiding within them. The anointed one who teaches them, and in whose grace they go forward to the land of the inheritance. Oh, beware that you block not the way of the saints. He that toucheth a child of God, he that resisteth a saint, toucheth the eye of God. Yea, touches the very apple of the eye of God, the most sensitive and tender part of it. These kings were no lightweights in the eyes of men and in the eyes of the Hebrews. They were not walkovers. What does it say there in verse 17 and 18? Great kings. Famous kings. That's what they were. They were known and feared for their power. They had authority. They had terror. Og means long-necked, gigantic. He was the last of the giants. Remember how it says that Og, king of Bashan, only remained of the remnant of the giants. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron. 9 cubits was the length thereof, 4 cubits the breadth of it. That bedstead, whatever is meant by that bedstead, it was made of iron. We are not sure. It may have been his couch or his bed that he slept on. Some have suggested that it was his coffin or his final resting place, whatever, with his armor. He was huge. With his weapons and his stature, he was gigantic. These men, their appearance struck fear into you. They weren't walkovers. Sion seems to have the meaning of storm or cyclone or hurricane. The name is applied to a leader. A leader who is by nature a warrior king, Sion, who has a history of carrying away, captive, like a storm, a hurricane comes, and what does it do? It just lifts things up and carries them away, and Sihon carries away captive. The devil has raised these men up and made them to be like himself, destroyer, enslaver. In their very appearance to intimidate the people of God, here they stand in the text, nouns only, motionless, just standing there, pillars of opposition. Their very appearance nearly seems to be enough to halt the tracks of the people of God. Strongholds of Satan in the way that God's people cannot seem to bring down in their own strength. There they stand, the enemies of God, the enemies of truth, enemies of uprightness, the enemies of the gospel, the enemies of true liberty and freedom. They are big. But men and women, we must learn this lesson. This is the lesson of this song. We must never forget it. No one is too big for God. No one. And anyone who stands in the way of his people is a fool. A fool driven by madness. And there are many of those such people named in the Bible. But we'll not be diverted from our text. Zion and Og are the ones before us. Learn from this then, not to stand in the way of opposition to God's people. Don't find yourself at any time on the devil's side. Don't find yourself that you have just managed to bring yourself into a stronghold of Satan to oppose the people of God. One of the most important truths discovered in Scripture and through Scripture and frequently revealed in Scripture and also discoverable even in human history itself is the truth of God's bringing down the proud. God brings down the proud. The book of Exodus, there is a proud one who soars above all, Pharaoh. How proud he was. God brought him down. And here in Numbers, proud Sion and Og. Like the devil himself, full of pride, the king of pride. That is why we should never be proud, people of God. That is why we should never be arrogant or lofty, wanting, as it were, to ride over men. We should never be devilish. It is so unlike God. We should be tender-hearted. We should be gracious and forgiving. We should certainly be humble and not fear to take up the lowly place. It was shortly after these battles that Moses said to the people of God to further encourage them as they were soon to cross over the river. He said to them, understand this, the Lord thy God is he which goeth over with you, and he is a consuming fire. He will destroy your enemies, and listen to it, and he will bring them down before thy face. Do you see, the enemies have taken the high place, the lofty place. They're proud. Their heads up in the sky. And God says, he will bring them down And not just brought down, but do you see it? People of God, do you see this? He'll do it before your face. You'll see it. You'll watch it. Right before your face. Those proud ones who stood in the way to resist, you'll see God bringing them down. Israel saw it. They not only saw it, they sung about it. They celebrated it, giving God thanks in this song. And they said it was God's mercy. He did it because his mercy endureth forever. He did it out of his kindness. He did it out of his tenderness. Mercy to God's people. It wasn't mercy to them, the wicked. It wasn't mercy to them who stood in the way of the gospel. It was judgment. God has mercy on whom he has mercy. And he has compassion on whom he has compassion. And whom he will, he hardeneth. He does it for his people. Thou wilt save the afflicted people, the Bible says. That's the people of God. The Lord will save them. But he will bring down high looks. Don't have a high look. God's watching. Don't have a proud countenance. God is watching. Don't have a smirk. God is watching. He brings down high looks. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. That's what God says. And here are branches of these terrible ones, and God is about to bring them low. He'll bring down their pride together with all their spoils, and he'll hand them over to his people. Even all that they possess will come into the inheritance of God for his people. Everyone that is high and proud and lofty shall be brought low. This is the uniform teaching of the Bible. Let us receive grace never to be proud or arrogant, but let us check our hearts that they be humble and meek and lowly at Jesus' feet. Now, how God did this to Zion and Og is described for us even in these verses. On verse 17 and 18, on the one side, again I remind you of the text, verses 17 to 21, and in the middle we have the two kings, without the verbs, 19 and 20, they're standing there in opposition, but on either side we have verbs. And those verbs are the verbs of God's activity. God won't stand in quiet. God won't stand motionless. He won't stand by and let this opposition prevail. No, he acts. And the verbs occur then in verses 17, 18, and 21. In verses 17 and 18, God smites and God slays them. These great kings, these famous kings, these terrifying kings, what does he do? He smites them and he slays them. They're two different verbs, but they more or less mean the same thing. To kill, to slay, to put to death. The verb in verse 17 is actually used in verse 10. To him that smote Egypt and their firstborn. And we know that the plagues of Egypt, and especially the death of the firstborn, that they were judgments from God. And here also God judges them with death. It is God's hand of judgment. God will bring down all the proud. To you who are troubled, rest, Paul says. One day the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming to judge the earth. Don't be troubled. Let the rest in your heart abide. He's coming to judge the earth and to judge the world, to bring down all these strongholds. And so that's what this word teaches. God brings down the pride. God removes the obstacles to his church and to his plans for them. But that's not the end of the story. On the one side, we have the judgment, the hand of God removing the obstacles in this massive judgment of the Almighty. But on the other side, we have divine activity as well, because we read after this, he gave their land for an heritage. The same story is told in the previous psalm, Psalm 135, verse 10, who smote great nations and slew mighty kings, Zion, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and give their land for an heritage unto Israel, his people. In Psalm 136, there is a difference. It appears only to be east of the Jordan. That seems to be alluded to the time before the crossing of Jordan. Sion and Og were on the east of Jordan, and their lands were then included in the land of promise, and their lands were brought to them, to the people of God. In Psalm 135, however, it is added, and all the kingdoms of Canaan. And so in that psalm, the west of Jordan also is in mind. Now, the implication is that with the slaughter of Zion and Og, nothing now was going to stand in the way of the saints in the final path on progression of the people of God, that they were going to get all the lands and more besides. The last enemies. That's what we're being reminded of here in the text. The final enemies. You know that the church will face final enemies. It's terrifying. It's all there in the book of the Revelation. The final enemies. The last kings arising. They'll be the final ones to face. And in the Christian pilgrimage, even on a personal level, on a personal basis, there's the last enemy. What is the last enemy? Death. The battle around the Jordan. That's what this is. This is a battle around the Jordan. The King of Terrors and the Terror of Kings, death, pictured and portrayed by these kings. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And God will bring his people in. Child of God, the Lord is teaching you from this passage, don't fear the last enemy. It is the King of Terrors. It has a huge neck. It is gigantic. It is horrible to contemplate facing it. The last enemy shall be destroyed. God will bring you in. Fear not. God has the last word, people of God. God has the final word to these proud waves. What do these proud waves say? Ye shall not pass. But you know what God says to them? You shall not pass. The Bible tells us that the Lord covers it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys into the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. And so there are these great floods that seem to come in at times, the waves of the sea that come in, and they think they're going to come in, and they think they're going to flood the earth. They think they're going to go beyond the sand and beyond the beaches and to cover the earth. But God says to them, ye shall not pass. Hitherto shalt thou come and no further. Here shall thy proud waves be stead. Just like the Red Sea, the waters of the Red Sea, those proud waters that stood in the way of people of God. What did God do? He separated them into parts. And he said to them, ye shall not pass until my people pass over. Men and women, ultimately, it is the wicked who won't pass. It is Satan who, at the end of the day, won't pass. Don't resist God. Don't be foolish and say, you will not pass. Lest God come to you and say, you won't pass. Don't resist the Lord, sinner. Don't stand in the way of God and his people, but repent and be humble. And stand with the humblest of the saints with all their faults and failures. Stand with the saints and stand with the Savior. Stand in the place of weakness. Stand in the despised flock. So don't resist, sinner, but say, Lord, let your word pass into my heart, and let your grace pass into my life, and let me pass into your heavenly glory. And child of God, you be encouraged. You be revived. You be revived by the contemplation of the power and might of your Redeemer, and fear not the enemy. All obstacles of terror the Lord will remove, and you shall be brought into the everlasting inheritance to be with your King of grace and your King of glory, Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Lord and Savior, to whom with the Father and with the Holy Spirit be all glory evermore. Amen.